Welcome to Health for Life, your trusted source for health and wellness insights. Proudly presented by Vitruvian Health, the comprehensive healthcare system serving Northwest Georgia and Southern Tennessee with leading entities like Hamilton Medical Center and Bradley Medical Center. We're dedicated to keeping our communities healthy and thriving.
Welcome to Health for Life. Today we're talking with Dr. Adrian Miller, a board-certified fellowship-trained radiologist in breast imaging at People's Cancer Institute at Hamilton Medical Center in Dalton, Georgia. Dr. Miller, thank you once again for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Today we're going to go deeper into high-risk screening, the genetic testing, and the unique expertise that sets Vitruvian Healthcare System apart. And Dr. Miller is here to explain how fellowship training and advanced protocols improve patient outcomes. And what does it mean when somebody is considered high risk for breast cancer?
There are many things that can cause a patient to be high risk for breast cancer. One is a strong family history of breast cancer. So we have women come in all the time who say, my mom had breast cancer, my grandma had breast cancer, my aunts had breast cancer, my sister had breast cancer. That's a red flag. You are at risk for having breast cancer, even if there's no known genetic mutation, just because your family members have had it. And speaking of, genetic mutations such as BRCA1 and BRCA2 gene mutations automatically put you at high risk for developing breast cancer. So patients with those gene mutations have at least a 25% lifetime risk of developing breast cancer. Oh, wow. Over the general population, which is 1 in 8 women. So definitely something to be aware of and know your risk of. And the third group is people who have had prior chest radiation or atypical biopsy findings. So as a child, if you have lymphoma, sometimes you'll have chest radiation. And as you can tell from anatomy, it has to go through the breast tissue to get to your chest where you're having the radiation done. And that places that tissue at risk of later developing those cancers. And atypical biopsy means maybe it wasn't cancer, but there are quote unquote precancers that can be considered high risk, such as atypical ductal hyperplasia and things like that, that need to be removed at the time, but also place you at risk of developing breast cancer later.
I was going to ask something kind of like along those lines on if you ever see something that like just isn't cancer, but it's just a little suspicious on what it could turn into.
Absolutely. And there are many different ones. I won't name them because the names won't mean anything, but to us, they do. And so we will follow those. We will do a biopsy. If it comes back showing those things, then we know from our training, this is something that needs to come out, send to a surgeon, get it excised, make sure it isn't upstaged at the time that it's excised, meaning that they didn't find something worse in the larger biopsy than we found in our smaller biopsy that then becomes a cancer. But there are definitely things that in and of themselves are considered high risk, even though they aren't cancer.
Wow. And when it gets to the point where, you know, you're having to determine if somebody should go like under genetic testing, I mean, what really determines that?
When a patient comes in for their screening mammogram, we have a program in place where they are screened, and you can answer a few questions. It may feel like a lot at the time, but you can answer questions on a questionnaire, and based upon your family history and your personal history, such as do you take birth control? How many kids have you had? Or how long did you breastfeed? All of those things factor into whether or not you're considered high risk or not high risk. And they will enter those question or those answers into our computer program, and it will spit out a number. This is your risk of developing breast cancer in your life. And if it is above a 20% risk, that's considered high risk. And you then qualify for the additional screening. At that time, if you qualify for genetic testing, then we will refer you to a genetic counselor. You can have a further conversation with them and determine, do you want to have testing done if you qualify via saliva or blood to see if you have that genetic mutation. And I say that genetic mutation, but there are many, and that we're discovering more and more all the time. So even if you had genetic testing 10 years ago, you may want to get retested because there are new genes being discovered all the time that are linked to breast cancer. And the results of those tests will guide your screening and sometimes your treatment.
Once somebody has been identified as a high-risk patient, I mean, how does the screening process change there?
screening changes when you become high risk because we would like for you to have imaging done more frequently and maybe even more invasive type of imaging. Okay. So, for example, if you are considered high risk, we would do your screening mammogram, and then 6 months later, you would have an MRI, 6 months later, screening mammogram, so that your breast tissue is being imaged every 6 months rather than once a year. And by adding that supplemental MRI, you'll hear quoted anywhere between an additional 10 to 25 cancers are identified per 1,000 patients by MRI that aren't seen on mammogram or ultrasound. The imaging is staggered every 6 months to have that constant surveillance, and it is tailored based on your age, risk factors, breast density, and ensures that the cancer is caught at the earliest possible stage.
So from, you know, hearing your explanation of how the high risk works, is there a big difference between the high risk screening and the regular screening?
The biggest difference is the increased frequency that you may have the imaging done. There are supplements. I've already mentioned MRI, but you could also have screening ultrasound done, especially if you have dense breast tissue. We've already touched on the fact that mammograms are not as effective in people with dense breast tissue. They are still the best screening tool, but supplements such as ultrasound can be very beneficial in these patients. And with the close monitoring and shorter intervals between the studies, we are more confident in identifying these breast cancers earlier and changing the outcomes of these people's lives. And ultimately, it can lead to a multidisciplinary approach with coordination with genetics, oncology, and our high-risk clinic as well.
Is it super important to like identify if somebody's high risk before they even go in for their first mammogram?
I would say yes and no.
Okay.
So yes, we always want to identify someone who is high risk, but before they go for their first mammogram is not necessarily, but at that first mammogram, for sure. The earlier we can do it, the better. But I'll just say anytime we can identify that someone is high risk, they may not even know they're high risk till they come for their screening mammogram that first time. They answer these questions and all of a sudden it spits out, oh, you have a 23% risk of lifetime risk of developing breast cancer, and that patient didn't even know. So identifying them at that time is obviously better than never identifying them. But the earlier we can identify, the earlier we can get them on this alternative pathway to hopefully identify if a cancer ever develops.
What role does fellowship training in breast imaging play in this whole process?
So I'm partial because I am fellowship trained, but yeah. The purpose of fellowship training is that someone who has an additional year of breast imaging training is going to offer more expertise in the area than people who have not. There are radiologists who are very talented who did not do breast imaging fellowship, but having that extra year where you are just focused on breast imaging alone definitely offers an edge to that, where you can identify things that other people may not identify as abnormal or risky or, you know, subtle findings that aren't as obvious to the everyday radiologist as they are to the fellowship trained radiologist.
Well, I mean, I can see how that makes sense because you're seeing so many more cases.
Right.
I mean, you can spot little details.
Absolutely.
So that may stand out.
Absolutely. I mean, we are regularly finding 2 and 3 millimeter cancers.
Oh my goodness.
If you think about that, like that's pretty amazing, actually. And just knowing what you're looking for makes you more likely to call something like that back rather than wait the additional year to see if it grows or changes.
Yeah. And how does Vitruvian Health overall just stand apart from other local facilities in this area?
Vitruvian Health at People's Cancer Institute has the only fellowship trained breast radiologist the area locally. And I do think that, as I said, that helps to identify cancer sooner and to help with outcomes. We also have cutting edge imaging technology that is absolutely amazing. And I'm not just saying that because I work there. It really is. The amount of time and money that has been put into having a state of the art facility that is completely patient centered is amazing. And we really strive to have transparent communication and be very supportive of any patient that walks through the door. We offer comprehensive services, screening mammogram, diagnostic mammogram, biopsy, high-risk assessment, all in one building. And I think that that really changes the experience for a patient and helps them through the process rather than, you know, we're going to have this here. Well, then we need you to go to this facility and have this done. And then, oh, we need you to go to this office and have this done. It's all done right there. We have answers very quickly for the patient. And if it does happen to be something that needs to be addressed, we help them get them set up. They're never alone in the process.
With never being alone, I'm sure that people that are on the more high-risk end, it could be pretty emotional. Is there, you know, something to dealing with that high emotional value there?
I think so. I agree with you that it can be a very emotional process. Just hearing that you're high risk, the first thing that most patients think is, well, I'm going to get breast cancer sometime in my life. And so just frequent screening will provide them with a peace of mind. And as I said, we walk through the patient's journey with them every step of the way. We have breast navigators that help facilitate communications between every office and every specialist that is a part of this.
For those that are listening right now, is there just any, you know, final advice you would give to somebody who's just wondering if they are even high risk in the first place?
Sure. The most important thing that I can say is to figure out if you're high risk, we need accurate information about your history and your family history. Oftentimes patients will come in and say, we'll say, do you have a family history of ovarian cancer? And they'll say, well, they had some sort of female cancer. And I know that there are a lot of people who don't share stuff like that. And so I understand that it may not be completely accurate, but the more accurate the information that you give us, the more able we are to help you. So share that with your doctor, share it with the technologist when you come in. There are different risk models that are used to spit out this number of your risk number in your lifetime, your percentage of risk. And we use what we feel is the most accurate. Getting information about that and genetic testing options will help the patient to understand what they're going through and what it means to be high risk. The most important thing, and this is probably the fifth time that I've said it, but prevention starts early. Mm-hmm. Don't hide because you're afraid. And I say this from someone who worries about a lot of things. The earlier you can detect it, breast cancer is almost universally treatable now if you can catch it early. And early detection saves lives. That's not just a slogan. It is real life. That is absolutely true. And one that I stand by and feel very strongly about.
I feel like, too, like that there could be this like sense of embarrassment that might keep some women away. You know, there's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I agree. A lot of people in general stay away from health institutions out of embarrassment, men and women. And that is true. Even in breast imaging, we do have men who have breast cancer. It is not nearly as common, but they can have the same genetic mutations, the same risk factors, and those people need to be screened as well. So especially in those cases, speaking with your doctor, knowing your risk, and coming in early to get checked will save your life. And I will say, we see women every day. Many are embarrassed just simply being there. Yeah. Simply being there and exposing themselves is embarrassing for them. And for us, this is what we do. This is what we love. There is nothing that you can show us that we haven't seen before. And we want to help you. So I know it's hard to overcome that embarrassment if you do feel that, or hesitation, maybe not even embarrassment, anxiety. I know it's hard to overcome that, but getting in, getting the help is going to change your life.
Every time I hear about People's Cancer Institute, I just learn something new about it and how lucky we are to have it in our community. And just, Dr. Miller, thank you for, you know, telling us all about it once again.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
To schedule your mammogram, just call 706-272-6565. That's 706-272-6565.
This program in no way seeks to diagnose or treat illness or to replace professional medical care. Please see your healthcare provider if you have a health problem.
Thank you for listening to Health for Life, a presentation of Vitruvian Health, formerly Hamilton Healthcare System. Thank you for listening to Health for Life, a presentation of Vitruvian Health, formerly Hamilton Healthcare System.